What I wanted to talk to you for a few minutes this evening was a topic that I've been thinking about for a good while. I want to talk a little bit about our commitment to God. We're committed in our lives today to many things in our life. Some of the things that we are committed to, we're committed to our families. We're committed to our jobs. We're committed to the schools that our children go to, the activities of that school, things to better the school, fundraisers for the school. We're committed to our sports teams, the sports teams that we follow, maybe a certain football team or baseball team or NASCAR team or whatever that we're dedicated to, we're committed to. And there's various hobbies, charities that we're also involved in that we may be committed to. But what I want to think about for just a few minutes tonight is what's the most important thing in our lives to be committed to? What is commitment? And these are some items that I came up with that I think commitment means to me. It's a continuous effort. It's something that we're interested in and that we want to do on a continual basis. It's a priority in our lives. There's many things in our lives, and we give something that we're committed to a priority. And we have a deep interest in those things. And most importantly, I think we give some time. There's a time investment involved in being committed to something. And it also involves a continued service in the face of adversity. Some definitions I grabbed out of a dictionary for commitment means to bind or obligate, as by pledge or assurance, pledge, to commit oneself to a promise, to be committed to a course of action, or to pledge or engage oneself as an athlete who is committed to the highest standards. So some questions I'd like to go through and hopefully address tonight is it possible in the society that we live in today to stay committed in our service to God? And what are some of the significant obstacles that we face in the society that we live in today to remain committed? And can we find examples of people that lived in the Bible times that were committed, that committed their life to God? And what are some things that we can do to stay committed throughout our life and better serve God? So I want to start out and talk about a few of the obstacles. And the first one I had on my list was materialism. Over in Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, it says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So we need to lay up our treasures in heaven, not on the things of this earth. The second thing I had on my list was, as an obstacle today, was overtaxing our time with what I said, quote, good things. There are so many things that we do and that we put on our schedule that are good in themselves and that we need to do. And what I'm talking about here is just when we put too many of those things on us such that we forget God. Recreation. There's lots of opportunities in our society for recreation. Movies, TV, sports, and hobbies. Again, all good things. And our work, the job that we have, it demands quite a bit of time from us. And sometimes that can overtax our time. And just the various activities that are part of our everyday lives today. We run our kids to practices, we have games, we have recitals, we have all the kinds of things that are in our lives that there's nothing wrong with and they're good. What I'm talking about here is just packing too many things into our schedule so that we don't have time for God. Self-reliance is another thing. Sometimes we We want to depend on our own human wisdom instead of relying on God. In Proverbs, the third chapter, verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding." Another thing that I think is an obstacle for our commitment today is just the constant exposure that we have to the world and the sins of the world. We have to work with people. We have to go to school with people that are sinful and that are bad influences on us. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." So we need to make sure that the people that we have control over in our lives, some people we don't have a choice but to associate with, but those people need to be people that can be positive influences on us and help us go to heaven. And then apathy. I think this is a state sometimes where we just get to the point where we don't care, or where we're just going through the motions. And over in Revelation, the third chapter, in verse 16, Jesus said, "So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." Some biblical examples of some characters in the Bible who exhibited commitment to God. And there's obviously many, many people that we could look to. And I just picked a few that we could look at and point out some things in their lives. Noah. Noah was righteous and blameless. In Genesis 6, verse 9, it says, "These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God." He was alone in serving God. In Genesis 7, verse 1, it said, "Then the Lord said to Noah, 'Enter the ark, you and all your household, for you alone I have seen to be righteous before me in this time.'" Noah served God while others around him did not. I think that's a lesson that we can use today. Sometimes we may feel like we're the only ones, or everyone around us is not serving God, that we're by ourselves. But we can look to Noah and we can serve God whether or not people around us are serving God themselves. And Job. Job was blameless, again, and upright. In chapter 1, verse 1, it said, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil." And obviously Job suffered extensively at the hand of Satan. God allowed this to happen. But he endured in the face of these trials and was rewarded, and those things that were taken from him were restored. And I think that's another lesson that we can use. Sometimes we do suffer from the things of this life, and we need to understand and endure those things and maintain our relationship with God. And David. David was a man after God's own heart over in 1 Samuel 13, that's pointed out. David made some serious, serious mistakes. Caused the death of Uriah, made other errors in judgment and sin. But he turned from his sin and he returned back to the Lord. And I think we can use that as an example for us. Sometimes we think that we've done something that's so bad that we can't go back to God. But here we see David, who caused the death of Uriah and was able to return back to God. Peter, he left his previous life to follow Jesus. He also made mistakes. He denied Christ over in Luke 22, verses 56 through 62, a passage familiar to us. He also withdrew himself from some of the Gentile Christians over in Galatians 2, and Paul rebuked him to his face. But Peter continued to serve the Lord. He repented of those sins and continued to serve the Lord even though he was under severe persecution. And of course, Paul started out being as an enemy of the church over in Acts 8, caused many of the Christians to be imprisoned and even killed. He also suffered severe persecution. Over in Acts 14:19, it says, "But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead." Severe persecution, something that we won't expect or wouldn't happen to us in this life, but Paul endured those things. And he stayed committed to God. Over in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, Paul writes, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith." And then there's a story of Mary and her sister Martha over in Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. I'll read that passage for you. It says, Now as they were traveling along, he, being Jesus, entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." She listened to the Lord's words, and she was not distracted with the preparations like her sister Martha was. And she had her right priorities in life. So what can we do? What can we do in our lives to stay committed? Put God first. Steve mentioned that in his lesson just before I came up here. This is the greatest commandment over in Matthew 22 in verse 36. It says, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment." Also, over in Matthew 6, it talks about Jesus saying, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So we need to put God first in our lives. We need to dedicate time for our daily Bible study. In Acts 17, verse 11, it says, "These were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so." And over in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." And spend time in prayer to God, I think, is another thing that we can do. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, "Pray without ceasing." And in our prayer and in our daily Bible study and putting God first, we can draw near to God. Over in James, the 4th chapter in verse 8, it says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." We can trust and have confidence in God. Don't rely on our human wisdom. And we read the passage over in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, previously. Look to God and his word to help us deal with problems and make decisions. Sometimes we want to rely on our own wisdom, but we need to examine God's word and look to God to help us deal with the problems that we have in life and to make important decisions. We need to understand that all things work together for good for those that love the Lord. That passage over in Romans 8 in verse 28. We need to have confidence that God will take care of us. Matthew 7 and 11, it says, If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? And we can also be busy in doing the work of God. We can be as shining lights, as mentioned over in Matthew 5. Teach others. It's a reference there to Mark 16 and verse 15. Be involved in working in the local congregation. There are many things that we can do in the local congregation that need to be done. We can put the needs of others ahead of before ourselves. Our lives can be a living sacrifice. Over in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that the will of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So are you committed? This lesson was meant to encourage all of us to be more committed in our lives to God and to better serve Him. And yes, I think we can stay committed to God in the society that we live in today. There may be some here tonight who haven't begun this process of being committed to God. Obviously, the first step is obedience to His will, to obey the gospel, to become a child of God, to believe, confess that Jesus is the Son of God, repent of your sins, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. You need to do this before it's too late.